So about to begin a new sugya, and we're going all the way back to the beginning again to Shnei Melachim Metalis. And Mishnah told us that two people coming to a din Torah, each one claiming that the talis was his own. So the Gemara has a long discussion, just a very, very technical, textual discussion in terms of what exactly is the case in the Mishnah. It would appear that there are really two different cases in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah presents it as Zel Me'ani Mitzasiya, Zel Me'kula Shali. It sounds like one case is arguing about Mitzias, and another case they're arguing about something else. What is that other case? What is that phantom, mysterious other case? So the Gemara finally explains that it's talking about an argument within the realm of Mekach or Memker. That was the one case the Mishnah is, each person claims, I found the talis. Each one is grabbing onto the talis, each one claiming any Mitzasiya. The other case is, each person is grabbing onto the talis, each person claiming that I bought the talis. In the end, it doesn't make much of a difference. Each one is claiming the whole talis is theirs. We're going to say the same story. We're going to split the talis in the Shavuah, but just the scenario is different. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, if that's the case, and Reuben and Shimon are fighting it out in Beis Din, and Reuben claims I bought it, and Shimon claims I bought it. So he asks the Gemara on the first time of Kamus in Beis Din and Aleph, two lines on the bottom, why don't we just find out who paid for the talis? In the case of Mitzia, so then how are we going to figure out? We don't have a video camera. We don't know who picked it up first. But in the case of the paying for the talis, let's just ask somebody who will be able to tell us. Who are we going to ask? So presumably we're going to ask the store owner. Means that they both agree that each one is claiming that they bought the talis. Each one agrees that the Levi was the original owner of the talis. Let's go ask Levi, who do you accept the money from? So the Gemara says, no, the Tzricha de Nachum Mitzrayim. Levi's a good businessman. He took money from both of them. V'chad v'taitem v'chad v'akorche. Why did he take money from both? He's only selling the talis to one. So the answer is, what happened, Levi's claim, what happened is that two people walked into my store around the same time, and they both expressed interest in buying the talis, and they both put money down to give me, and I really only willingly accepted the money from the other. The other one I really wasn't interested in accepting the money from. There's a little bit of a balagan, and each one apparently thought that they were the rightful owner of the talis, that their money had been accepted, and now Levi says, I don't remember, now I don't know who gave it Midayit, who gave it Gakorche. So you can have a scenario that both of them did pay for it, but only one of them is the rightful owner. And we don't know. And Levi's testimony is basically worthless. He himself doesn't remember. So therefore, we're back to square one. Back
so
to
the storekeeper is holding someone's money.
There's no question he's going to give money back. Right? There's no question when we split the talis, so then we're also going to insist that the storekeeper give back half of the money that he received, and we're going to split that money also. So at the end of the day, Reuben's going to walk away with half the talis and half the money, and Shimon's going to walk away with half the talis and half the money. So no one's going to really lose anything, but I don't want a half the money, I want a whole talis. So comes the Gemara again with the question and answer. The Gemara's question was, let's believe the store owner, and that for whatever reason we can't, because of the technicality of the case. So all of the Rishonim were very bothered with the question of the Gemara. What was the Gemara been thinking? They were going to believe the store owner based on what? The Chora, the store owner is only an Ein Echad. The store owner is only one witness. So what would the din be? Let's say this, the Bala, what's called the Bala Mecca, the store owner, the person who owned the talis originally, would walk at the base and say, yes, it is true, Reuben is telling the truth. Reuben was the one who gave me the money, Shimon's an outright liar. So it's clear from the Gemara that we would believe Reuben. Based on what koch? Based on what authority would we believe Reuben? Reuben, would we believe the store owner? Would we believe the Bala Mecca? He's only an Ein Echad. And Erecha doesn't have any nemonis in the realm of Dini Mominis. So that's the problem that the Rishonim were bothered with. So much of the discussion revolved around the Gemara in the second Nemar Mekomos. The Gemara Mesechus Kedusha and Zafai Yilma Mebeis. The Gemara says, Neman Bal Mekach Lomar, Lazeh Macharti, Lazeh Ein Macharti. A Bal Mekach, an owner of an object, is believed to testify to say that I sold the object to this person, or I didn't sell the object to the other person. But med the Verma Murim, when is the Bala Mekach believed Bizman Shem Mecha Biyado? That's only true when he's holding on to the Mekach. But if it's not Mecha Biyado, he's not holding on to the object, then he's not believed anymore. Now, we just know the statement from Kedushin. We don't understand why. We still didn't answer the question why he's believed, but at least we have something to go on. At least we have the beginning of a sugya that a Bal Mekach does have a certain degree of nemanus. Again, we don't know what the mechanics of that nemanus is, what's it based on, but we know that it's a fact that Bal Mekach has nemanus, but the Gemara puts the brakes on the nemanus. It's only true if it's Ban Shemecho Biyado. So again, so we don't know why he's neman in the first place, and We for sure don't know why he's not Neman in the case with Emech HaBiyadah. So we don't really understand the whole din, but at least we have information here.
Right, can you just explain the facts? It's only when it's in whose hand?
But it's still in the Baal Nechach's hand. It means, the two people walk at the base and they're screaming, I claim that I gave the money, and the other guy claims that he gave the money. So the Baal Nechach is still holding on to the talus. He hasn't given it either of them yet. He says, the Reuven's the one who gave the talus. Shimon's lying. So the Baal Nechach has them honest to say that. But if the Baal Nechach already doesn't have the talus is now in both Reuven and Shimon's hands. They're fighting over it. And now a week later, the Baal Nechach comes, yeah, Reuven's the rightful owner. Then the Baal Nechach has known them honest. So again, we don't understand what the Nemanos is based on, and we don't understand the limitation of the Nemanos. But we have a din, at least we have a Gemara Kedusha 9 Gimel to go on. So the Chorah, that's what the Gemara's question was. Here also, when the Gemara asked, Palach Zezuzi, Mimanoka, let's believe the Baal Nechach, what the Gemara was assuming was that you learn Kedusha 9 Gimel, then you understood. There's such a concept called Nemanos Baal Nechach. However, the problem with this is that in Bav Metzia Daveis, where is the talus? Is the talus still in the Baal Nechach's hand, or is the talus already out of the Baal Nechach's hand? So comes Rashi and says that, of course, the talus is not in the Baal Nechach's hand anymore. Now, those are the opening words in the Masechta. Shnayim Lochus and the talus. Shnayim Lochus and the talus mean that Reuven and Shimon are holding on to the talus. The store owner is not holding the talus anymore. So according to Rashi's observation, you don't need Rashi, it's just the first three words in the Masechta, Shnayim Lochus and the talus, it seems very obvious that this Gemara Kedusha is not going to be helpful. Because the Gemara Kedusha, whatever the lumbus of Nemanos Baal Nechach is, the Gemara immediately clamped down, immediately put the brakes on it, and it says it only applies when it's Mechel V'yado. So then back to square one. In our case, where it's clearly not Mechel V'yado, how in the world could the Gemara ask a question? Alexi Susan Manova, what do you mean? Based on what? The best thing you can go on, the only Nemanos we could possibly give you is based on Kedusha 9 Gimel Baal Nechach, but Mineil Dei, the Gemara says you wouldn't have Nemanos because it's not V'yado anymore. So the Chora, we got absolutely nowhere. We thought the Gemara Kedusha was going to come to the rescue, and then we realized that's not true. So the Rif was also part of this question, and the Rif, because of this question, was willing to say something which sounds very startling. So the Rif says that you thought that the case of a Metzia Daveis is a Mechel V'yado. Nah, it's not true. Says the Rif, if you take a look at the third of the Mamakamos, the first one line is Betalus. It's a little more than halfway down. Umistavralon, the third one line, Umistavralon, Hadik Tani Shnai Mokhz and Betalus, Lavakula Milsa Ktani, Ela Metzia Belachuk Ktani. So comes the Rif and says a startling shot. I was tight in the Mishnah. But the Mishnah says Shnai Mokhz and Metalus. That's the introduction to all the kings in the Mishnah. Two guys holding on to Metalus. Then the Mishnah goes on to explain. You can have a case of Metzia. You can have a case of Mechach Memker. I thought, when I was just reading Mishnayos, if I'd be reading this Mishnah with my fifth grade son, so I would say that Mishnai Mokhz and Metalus is the introduction. Every case that we're about to discuss is a scenario of Shnai Mokhz and Metalus. There are two different ways that it plays out. One way is Derech Metzia, and the other way is Derech Mechach Memker. But of course it's Shnai Mokhz and Metalus. Of course, Metalus is being held by the two Balei Davar. Comes there and says it's not true. The phrase, the introduction of Shnai Mokhz and Metalus, is only referring to the Metzia case. It's not referring to the Mechach Memker case. What's the din of the what's the case? What's the scenario of the Mechach Memker? Mechach Memker, the Baal Mechach still has the talus. That Reuven and Shimon are not arguing, each one holding on to the talus. Now the two guys walk to Beis Din, and Reuven says, I gave money for a talus, and Shimon says, I gave money for a talus, and the talus is still in the store. So now we're trying to figure out who owns the talus. So now the Gemara makes a lot of sense. Yes, the Baal Mechach, because the Baal Mechach has Nemanos based on Kedusha 9 Gimel Beis, because according to the Rif, the talus is still Tachas Yad Baal Mechach. So the Rif, a very innovative way of reading the Mishnah, was able to salvage the Gemara's question. How could the Gemara dream and ask, let's believe the Baal Mechach based on what? So the answer is based on Kedusha 9 Gimel. In Kedusha 9 Gimel, the Baal Mechach has to have the talus. Says the Rif, he has the talus here also. The Mishnah says Shnayim Mokhz and Talus. That's not referring to the case of the Mechachal Memker. But Rashi didn't go that route. Rashi learned the Mishnah like I would teach my fifth grader. Shnayim Mokhz and Talus is gone on everything. The Mishnah is taught in Kipshuto, two people holding on to the talus. That's the introduction. no matter what the case is, whatever the case is, like Chalemka, the case, Mitzia, Shnei Mechzim Metalos, that's absolute chayt lo yav. You can't tamper with Shnei Mechzim Metalos. So if so, if Shnei Mechzim Metalos is an absolute, so then back to square one, how can the Gemara ask a question, ask the Baal Nekach, if it's not Nekach the other? So the answer is we have to go back to the Gemara condition. That was the source of the problem. Go back. Maybe that'll be the source of the solution. So comes the Gemara back to the second Amar Mekamos, to back to condition. I give him a base. Neman Balamekach, Lama Lezemechayt, Lezemechayt. The Balamekach, the store owner, has Nemanos to say that I sold to this person, not to the other person. But man, the Rabbi Moon, when is this true? This man Shemechal Biyodo. That's only when he's holding on to the Mekach. But Ein Mechal Biyodo, Ein Neman. So comes the Gemara now and asks a very familiar question. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Let's ask the Baal HaMekach who we got money from. What's the Gemara's question exactly? So clearly, we just said a moment ago that the Baal HaMekach is believed. So why is the Gemara asking, let's ask the Baal HaMekach? So obviously, the Gemara is asking on the second half, on Ein Mechal Biyodo. The Gemara is asking, even on a case of Ein Mechal Biyodo, let's still believe the Baal HaMekach. So the Gemara itself is asking the question, why are you distinguishing between Mechal Biyodo versus Ein Mechal Biyodo? Lech Tezuzi Yuman Nobet, even if Ein Mechal Biyodo, let's believe him. To which the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Denachal B'Tshavayo. No, the reason why you can't believe the Baal HaMekach is because he took money from both. Sounds very familiar to what we said in Babetziah Dab Beis. So what's going on in the Gemara? Does the Baal HaMekach have Nemanos? Does he not have Nemanos? Is it limited to when he has the Mekach or not? So Rashi, both in Babetziah and in Kedushim, says, if you put the whole picture together, you come up with the following conclusion. That the answer to the question is, does the Baal HaMekach have Nemanos? The answer is, it depends. It depends on two factors. If it's Mekach V'yado, if he's still holding on to the Mekach, then the Baal HaMekach always is believed. That's Chayk V'layava. That's under all circumstances. Mekach V'yado, for sure he's believed. If it's a Mekach V'yado, then it depends. If he only took money from one person, and he can identify who that one person is very quickly, then the Baal HaMekach is believed, even if it's not Mekach V'yado. But if he concedes that he took money from both, and now he's got to remember, gee, I remember I took money from both. Both Reuven and Shimon were in the store. I took money from both. And now I got to try to remember who did I want to sell to, who did I not want to sell to. That's where Mechal Biyodo plays a role. If it's Mechal Biyodo, he's still believed, even under a complicated scenario. If it's a Mechal Biyodo, then he's not going to be believed. So comes Rashi and says, the answer to the question is the Baal HaMekach believed? And when is the Baal HaMekach believed? It depends, says Rashi. There are two different categories of Baal HaMekach. There's Baal HaMekach of Mechal Biyodo, when he still has the item in his house, it's still sitting in the store, still under his control. Then, across the board, no matter what his claim is, no matter what he's saying, he's always believed. If it's a Mechal Biyodo, then it depends. If he took from one person, then he's not believed. If he didn't take from, if he took from both people, then he's not believed. So says Rashi, that's exactly what you think about Mitzvah. What did Gemara Bavitziah think? Let's go back to Bavitziah, back to the first of the Rabbi Kamos, back to the second line. The Lech Tezuzi Yuman Nocha. The Gemara asks, the Lech Tezuzi Yuman Nocha, the Gemara knew that it's a Mechal Biyado, not like the rift shot. That, no, the Gemara thought the store owner has it. No, that's not true. The Gemara knew that the store owner doesn't have it. It's Shnai Mechzim Talos Kipshuto. And nevertheless, the Gemara still asked, let's believe the Baal HaMekach. Why? Because the Gemara thought in the question that only one person actually paid. So we're asking the store owner, do you remember who paid and who didn't pay? Reuven and Shimon both claimed they paid. One's telling the truth, one's lying. So the Gemara asked, Lech Tezuzi Yuman Nocha, let's believe the Baal HaMekach. Because, after all, if only one person paid, like the Gemara condition says, then the Baal HaMekach is believed even if it's a Mechal Biyodo. Answers the Gemara. The case is that they both paid. One paid Be'al Korach, one paid Britzo, no? And now we have to trust the Baal HaMekach to remember who paid and who did he accept from, who paid and who he did not accept from. Once it's a Mechal Biyodo, he no longer has them on those. Adkan, wow, complicated scenario according to Rashi, but at least we have the dinim. At least the Gemara Kedushin makes sense, the Gemara Bavitziah makes sense, and the Tuvah Lachas makes sense. However, we have to work on this a little bit conceptually. I mean, it's one thing to answer textually, Agamar fits in, I think Markadisha fits in, but Tachlis, conceptually, what's going on? You have to answer the basic question. Is the Baal HaMekach believed or is it not believed? What kind of story is that? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's Biyadu, not Biyadu. Hopefully, it seems so arbitrary. What is this all about? So Rashi explains to us that it's really based on one very, very basic fundamental question. It says Rashi, conceptually, the Baal HaMekach is believed. It means we don't have any problem in pure halacha believing the Baal HaMekach. The problem is, according to Rashi, is that how do you know the Baal HaMekach knows what he's talking about? How do you know that he really remembers? Like, Mehecha Teisei. It means, very often, when we ask a question of Nemanos, we want to know, can we believe what a person's saying? So there are two different issues that we have to overcome. First, we have to overcome, does the person halachically have Nemanos? And then number two, the Maisa, is that what he's talking about? So very often, somebody will ask me, well, can I eat in such and such person's house? Can I trust the kashrus? So that's a dual question. So number one, halachically, can you trust the kashrus? And then number two, lamaisa, does the guy know what he's doing? So in theory, the person is shomer Torah mitzvahs, so eidach and abisurin, so the person has namonis, assuming that he knows what it means to say something is kosher. Let's say he thinks he's trying to do the mitzvahs, and he's trying to keep mitzvahs properly, tries to keep kashrus, but he thinks that Torah hashkocha is, for argument's sake, are acceptable, which maybe are not acceptable. So the guy can be namon, quote unquote, but lamaisa, those are the facts. So that's the issue of Yeses Rashi. The fact that the Baal HaMekach is Neman, that's not a question. That's another portion of Baal HaMekach is Neman. But the next question we have to ask is he aware of the facts? How in the world can we be sure that the Baal HaMekach is going to remember who he sold the object to? So that's what Rashi says. That's where Mecho Biyado versus Ein Mecho Biyado part ways. If it's Mecho Biyado, the owner of the talis, the owner of the object, is holding on to the mekach, and we would come bring him to Beis and ask him, who did you sell this mekach to? He is for sure, if he tells us who he sold the mekach to, we can be certain he knows exactly what's going on. We can be certain he's not making up a story. We can be certain that he remembers. Why? Because he has a very strong incentive to remember. Because the halacha is, if you take money from somebody, and then you decide to renege on the deal to give it to somebody else, so the Mishnah says about Metziah, that's a dishonest thing to do, that's an immoral thing to do, and we're going to give you a curse for that. It's called the Mishapara. The Mishnah says about Metziah, if I run my business, somebody gives me money, I didn't deliver the goods yet, but then I call it a week later and say, you know what, sorry, I don't want to sell it to you, I want to give it to somebody else. So technically speaking, I can quote unquote do that, because we didn't do the sale yet, I didn't actually hand the object to him yet, so we ask that the Kesef isn't really, he doesn't really acquire the object, but the Mishnah says, Misha Pora, Meyanche Doramabu, Meyanche Sodom, who ye part of Misha Edo with Bidiburo. The Rabban Shlom, who paid back all the Rishoyim and Tevim Brachias, who weren't moral and ethical people, is going to punish a person who lies and cheats, even though I didn't technically steal from you because it doesn't really belong to you yet, but I gave my word, and I took, what did my word? I took money, I entered into a deal with you, I took money, then I changed my mind next week, I'm subject to a Misha Pora. So therefore, according to Rashi, Kol Zman that the Mekach is still Biyadi, I'm going to be very careful what I do. I'm not going to take any chances. If I'm going to walk into the base and I'll say, yeah, I sold it to Reuven, it's not going to be, I think I sold it to Reuven. It's going to be an absolute I sold it to Reuven. I would never, ever risk the Misha Tara. But if it's Ein Mechi Biyadu, well, I'm going to picture ready. It's like somebody else already. I'm not totally responsible. So now Bazin schlepped me in 2 weeks later and said, by the way, who did you sell the object to? So now we have to be concerned. We're very nervous as Rashi. If what happened was only one of these two parties ever came into my store, the other guy's mamasha lying through his teeth, so I probably remember Reuven. I remember Reuven. He's a customer. I never saw the guy in my life. So if that's what I say, that I got money from Reuven, I didn't get money from Shimon, so then I'm probably telling the truth. But if I start to tell the story that, wait a second, I did get money from both, and it was a very complicated day, it was under a lot of pressure, and I don't remember who I sold to willingly, who I took the money for unwillingly, that's already a very complicated story. Love not confirming the truth. So in theory, I'm an ish neman, I'm a very honest person, I've had nemanos in halacha, I only have nemanos up to a certain point, I only have nemanos if we're really convinced that I know what I'm talking about. So the bottom line is, according to Rashi, all the issues, all the distinctions that we have between the Gemara of Metziah and the Gemara of Kedushin all boil down to one thing. Is the person reliable or not? Is the person halachically neman? Absolutely. But is his story reliable? That depends. Depends on the facts. If it's Mecho Biyado, it's always reliable, because he's got a Misha Par hanging over his head. If it's not Mecho Biyado, then depends how nuanced the story is. If it's cut and dry, clear cut case of one guy did come and one guy's lying, that I'll probably remember even a few weeks later. If it becomes much more complicated, much vaguer, so then we don't necessarily assume that you're telling, that you know enough of the story to remember enough of the story to be telling the truth. But the whole part of according to Rashi, both sugyas and kedushin and sugyas and metziah are really revolving around how reliable the person is in terms of does he remember, does he not remember. But the first issue, does he have nebanos? Does he have halachic nebanos? So comes Rashi and says, absolutely. The person has absolute halachic nebanos. The question becomes a much more difficult question. Based on what? What in the world is this whole sugya talking about? According to Rashi, we're talking about details about do we think he remembers? Do we not think he remembers? Are we concerned about his memory? Not concerned about his memory? Stop. Hold the phone. Why is he not altogether? Based on what? What are the halachic ramifications of believing this person? He's an Eidei Echad. You have to all set it on. He's only an Eidei Echad. And an Eidei Echad in a moment is usually worthless. So what in the world is going on? So it's very nice to explain the nuances of Rashi as to when we think he's telling the truth and when not. I don't care whether we think he's telling the truth. Even if we know he's telling the truth, why not to be that we know he's telling the truth? Without two aid, without the ESV, take away money from somebody. So there's a much more profound question within Shittas Rashi. So if you take a look on the second of the Mamakomos, on the fifth of the Mamakomos, on the second page, a Tosfos Kedushin and Gilmor Beis. We're not going to read the whole Tosfos together, but there's one line that tells us. Kosher. The first word on the line is kosher. Kosher. It's about eight lines down. Kosher. To ma'yesh lanu la'avino tfeimi be'erecha di'alma. So comes the Tosfos says, wait, stop, hold the phone. Why in the world is the Baal HaMekach believed any more than an Eid Echad? Even if we quote him, we'll think he's telling the truth. He's still an Eid Echad. The Kevan She'emecho B'yado Lo Shayach Lo Mamigo Kedei La'amino L'chein Pirusha B'netam B'zman She'emecho B'yado V'oz U'nema Mitam Migo D'matziyom Lo Machar T'yo Chazat V'kenisiv Avol Ein Mecho B'yado Ein O'nema D'az Lo Shayach Migo. Comes to B'netam and throws a curveball at us. Comes to B'netam and gets to the heart of the matter. Says to B'netam, why is the Baal HaMekach believed? He's an Eid Echad. Eid Echad is known in Mamanus. Says him in a time, you know why an Eid Echad is believed? Based on a principle of Migo. Migo. Migo do anything. Migo means, I make a statement in Beis Din, and the statement in and of itself is not really believable. It's not acceptable. But this, if I was lying, I could have done it in a different way. The fact that I could have said something else, I could have done something else, that would have been much easier, much smoother, since I have the potential to do X, believe me to say Y. That's Migo, as we already spoke about many times. Comes with a time. The Baal HaMekach walks in the Beis Din and says, let me tell you what happened. I sold this object to Reuven. That's the sin. I sold the object to Reuven. The Baal HaMekach is still holding the object in his hand. Says Reuven, at the time he's believed. You know why? Because why would he lie? If he wants to lie, he really sold to Shimon, and now he's trying to finagle and lie and say that he sold to Reuven. It's such a silly lie for him to say he sold to Reuven. What should he have said? He should have said, I didn't sell to anybody. I said, I'm holding on to the talis. I'm holding on to the shirt. I didn't sell to anybody. And now I can give it to whoever I want to. And who's going to know otherwise? There were no Edom in the store. Nobody remembers. It's my word against yours. So if I claim that this is my talis, I didn't sell it to anybody, and therefore I'm going to do whatever I want with it, there's no one in the world who can stop me. So Kozban Shemecho Biyado, I always have that built-in Migo. Migo, I could have said, I didn't sell it to anybody. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, that's the rationale for them on the Baal HaMekach. We started the Shia by saying, Baal HaMekach, who are you? You're only an Eid Echad. Eid Echad doesn't have any Nemanus and Mamanus. Says Rabbi Natan, you're right. An Eid Echad has zero Nemanus and Mamanus. The only reason why the Baal HaMekach is believed is because he has Bigo. But says Rabbi Natan, Abazoi, that the Baal HaMekach is believed based on Hilchos Bigo, then there's a very important limitation. And what's the limitation? Only when it's Mechal Biyado. If it's not Mechal Biyado, where's the Bigo? If I sold it already, it's 2 weeks later, it's ready sitting in somebody else's property. So I'm going to walk to Megan and say, believe me that I sold it to Reuven, because Migo could have said that I didn't sell it. Then you didn't sell it. So where is it? It's already out of your, it's not in your store anymore. So obviously you don't have a Migo anymore. So according to Rebbe Tam, the second it's Eino Biyado, it is over. The case is over. You have zero nemonis. So obviously Rashi wasn't learning this way. So Rashi was learning that there is a certain degree of nemonis from Baal HaMekach, even if Ein Mekho Biyado, As long as it's samuch, as long as we convince, we think he's telling the truth, we know he's telling the truth, we trust he's telling the truth. Rashi touched it up a little bit. He took money from one person, not from two people. According to Rashi, conceptually, a Baal Mekach is believed even if it's ein mecha v'yado. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a non-starter. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't even get into the batter's box with that. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the nemanus of Baal Mekach is predicated on the assumption there's an ego. Once it's ein mecha v'yado, there's always an ego, there's no longer an ego. So we have to now go back to Rashi and ask the much more profound question, much deeper, lumdusher question according to Rashi, before we spend on the mitzvahs or the technicalities. Do we think he's telling the truth? Do we not think he's telling the truth? Is he probably telling the truth? Not probably. We're working out the nuances, ironing out the nuances of Baal Mekach. But now the sugya really starts, according to Rashi. Why is Baal Mekach ever believed? If according to Rashi, Baal Mekach is sometimes believed when it's a mecha v'yado, and it's not predicated on ego. It's got to be based on something else. What is that deep, dark secret as to the nemanus of Baal Mekach? So again, David Rashi, Ben Rav Tam, Baal Mekach has a certain degree of nemanus in Allah. It's a Gemara Kedusha, no question about it. But whereas according to Ben Tam, the nemanus begins and ends with ego, and therefore cannot ever leave the realm of mecha v'yado, according to Rashi, who says that there is a possibility of Baal Mekach to believe when it's a mecha v'yado, it by definition can't be based on ego. So it's very nice to say it's not based on ego, of course, so it's based on Tacha. So that's the real question we have to ask ourselves. According to Shitas Rashi, who entertains, not just entertains the possibility, but actually says in reality, that sometimes the Baal Mekach is believed, even if it's Emech Abiyado, based on what? Edechon is not Nemon and Mominus. Ego doesn't exist as Emech Abiyado. What is the deep dark secret? Why is it that a Baal Mekach is believed according to Rashi? Hopefully, mentioned tomorrow, so we have to try to understand the answer to that question. Henry?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?